It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Let's roll. Man, is it just me, or does it feel like it was just like 2 days ago that it was Good Friday? And here we are, rolling into the next Friday. Like sands through the hourglass. These are the days of our lives. Now, normally we step up and in the evening, and we've been doing some in-game this and in-game that. We had the NCAA tournament, the Final Four. There's been different things going on for the last couple of weeks, including the return of the UFL. And we've enjoyed our UFL previews with Rob Vino, and we're already into week three of the National Football League. The CFL season starts in like 55 days right now. The regular season is rapidly approaching. We've got the Masters going on as we speak. I've got some make the cut action that I'm going to be keeping my eye on here over the next couple hours, specifically Corey Connors. We need Corey Connors to get it done. Listen, I don't even need anybody to win. I got Ludwig to win and Bryson, but we've got some to make the to cut parlays that we'll keep our eye on. It's getting real right now in the NBA, the National Hockey League. The playoffs are set to begin. The playoffs start next Saturday in the National Hockey League. NBA play-in is this week. So the playoffs are here, essentially. You know, the Masters weekend will take us in to the NBA. and the NHL playoffs. We've got the NFL draft around the corner. Next thing you know, CFL football, World Cup of Soccer will be here. And then, you know, put it this way, the NFL season is soon enough that they're starting to freak out about who's going to be refereeing the games this year in the National Football League, which is just ridiculous to me. Like, seriously. The National Football League, I think I saw, like, you know, people throw around their numbers and stuff like that, but I literally think it was like $22 billion. Like, you guys, like, your revenue is literally larger than most countries in the world. And you guys, like, nah, you know, let's pay the refs $78 a game. It's like, well, you know, guys, why don't we actually just, you know, pay them all like real money and make them like full time, as opposed to having some grandfather that's a lawyer for Walmart during the week, and then like he's a referee and he's 72 years old and he's got to run up and down the field and keep up with kids in their 20s. I don't know. It's just me. I mean, they kind of have the money to do it, don't they? And think about it, too. Think about this. The NFL replacement referees, which I got to be honest with you, I didn't think were that bad last time. They're all bad, so who cares? Like, so, you know what I mean? But the NFL replacement referees aren't, like, the best referees either. Like, it's not like they can say, you know what, let's just get the dude that does the Big Ten, like, that did the Big Ten championship game, or, you know, yeah, whatever, dude, we'll get a bunch of SEC refs. No, SEC refs are doing college already. And they're not going to screw their own job up to coach a couple of games in the NFL, to ref a couple of games in the NFL, then just, like, you know, and be scabs and then have to go back to college or, like, D2 or something after. And if you're an up-and-coming guy, like, if you're a vet guy, you're like, no, I'm not going to screw everything up and go there for, like, 2 weeks and then I miss out on the call. Like, and if you're an up-and-coming ref, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it either because you're going to be like, no, I'm not going to cross their little picket line here, and I'll be known, like, because this won't last forever, and then I'll be known as a scab dude that got my job in the NFL, and I'm going to lose. And the NFL will kick all the scab refs away as soon as they get the real refs back. So they're not going to have a choice. They're going to have to really get, like, the bottom of the bottom type of refs that aren't working anywhere because they're not going to want to give up their jobs just for, like, a couple of weeks. And, like, you don't even make that much money in the NFL to be a ref. All right, let's make some money on some football right now and bring Rob Vino. Well, we got our own problems to worry about, Rob, besides who's going to be reffing football. But it's a real story. And, you know, the season's around the corner right now, Rob. It's getting serious. Rob Vino. How you doing, Rob?
I am good, Gabe. How are you today on a Friday with UFL?
Oh, early, Rob. Not used to this, actually. I feel like I was just on like 10 minutes ago. I was on last night. Normally, excuse me, normally been doing the shows at night. I've been mixing it up a bit, Rob. And I swear to God, and you're part of this brigade and stuff like that, like, noon Eastern is like every motherfucker in the world seems to do a podcast and their picks and stuff, Rob, at noon Eastern. If I was like a business advisor, I'd tell everyone in the business, all right, listen, you all seem to think it's like some magical time starting at noon Eastern, but you're all starting at noon Eastern. Like, I look at the live show list at noon Eastern on Twitter. I'm like, you know, you're dealing with McAfee and Jim Rome and stuff to begin with, right? And then on top of it, you got every site, everybody, Rob. So, you know, this might be our last noon broadcast, but you're busy during the day and stuff, and I like to get to the UFL football preview with you. So, and a lot of stuff to get to coming up this weekend, but man, it's a busy time on the internet right now.
Yeah, it is, Gabe. And I'll just give you a quick one here. Last summer, you know, Adam Trigger and I did that Wager Talk full court press college basketball show every day from November to the national championship. And when he came to me and said, you know, we're going to start this thing at 10 a.m. East, I was like, dude, I don't get to bed before 2:30 East. It's going to be rough. And when I took it on, I knew what it entailed. But you're right. These mornings, morning and early afternoon things are tough. And especially, you know, last thing I'll say here real quick is I do a daily with Hakeem Prophet, 145 NBA show. And half the time we do that show, Gabe, it's not even, I'm not going to say it's not worth doing the show because the information is obviously valuable to the people watching. But to try and make selections for people to come out of their pocket with at 145 East in the NBA, where they don't tell you who's going to play until 15 minutes before tip-off, is absolutely crazy. So sometimes I think the later we back these things up, the better they might be.
Yeah, and I send my picks in. I do a 6 p.m. Eastern TV show, and I got to send my picks in hours before for graphics and so they can put them up. And I got to say, like, probably, like, twice a week I need to cancel a pick because, as you stated, like, the NBA is almost, I don't want to say pointless, but it kind of is until like an hour before the game, a half hour before the game. Like, you know, you want to be on top of it and then just sort of say, all right, so I guess this will happen. I hope this, but there's so many roster adjustments in the National Basketball Association. It's wild, but we've only got a couple of more days of that before it gets real and we're into the play-in and into the playoffs. And it's real right now already into week three, Rob, of the United Football League. We got Friday Night Football tonight, the Orlando Storm and the Louisville Kings. So we got a rematch from last week, which I don't really understand, like, why you would have to do this already so early in the season, but it is what it is. So Orlando go to Louisville, and they filled that stadium up last time. It's a smaller stadium, but they did fill it up. Louisville are getting 3.5 right now at Bet Online. The total, 39.5 tonight, Rob, in this football game. Now, I think you and I agreed that we liked Orlando coming into this year, and it hasn't been pretty offensively, but it's pretty clear Beck doesn't care, and this guy's just looking to grind out wins any way that he can, Rob. He doesn't care about being entertaining. He's not worried about the scoreboard. He's just worried point blank about winning the football game. And they've won both games so far.
Yeah, they have. And as you mentioned, it hasn't been pretty, not, at least not aesthetically good looking.
Offensively, we should say. Their defense has played well, right? So, but offensively,
Where the other side, to tell you the truth, has had their moments. The Louisville Kings certainly have had their moments offensively, but not unable to really produce touchdowns rather than field goals, you know, get down there and kick a field goal or get down there and turn it over, et cetera. Last week, and I'll tell you what I think the biggest problem for Louisville is here. They can't run the football, at least not against this defense from what I saw last week. 27 yards rushing, everything had to come through the air. When it has to come through the air, you give Orlando the ability to pass rush. I would love to think that Louisville is going to progress offensively here at home against Birmingham in the first week. They actually did pretty well. I think they had four drives over 60 yards in a game where they came close against Birmingham. But I kind of temper that thought, Gabe, and we'll get to this down the board here with the fact that Birmingham's defense is abysmal this year. I mean, I wonder if Louisville's so-called little bit of success in week one offensively wasn't more due to the Birmingham defense than their offense. So I see some action coming in here this morning on the Orlando side. The game has been bet a little bit up to Orlando -4.5. Amazingly, the total's gone up in a couple of spots as well. I'm not sure I agree, but we know how these totals are when they're in this very, very low range of 39.5. Can almost get there by mistake. But Orlando's going to keep the ball on the ground here, so I don't know, Gabe. I'm looking at it sort of from a Louisville plus points perspective, thinking that Orlando doesn't care to absolutely drill teams. They just want to win, sort of the survive and advance theory, and maybe a little bit towards the under, kind of like last week's game. But my old adage is coaches love to fix what went wrong the time before. And boy, the time before was only 6 days ago. So maybe we see a little more offense here.
Yeah, and there's always that, you know, we're into week three right now, and teams eventually, look, nobody expected what we got from Houston last week, right? So, like, you almost got to give, you know, there's still that fear factor that there's the unknown still coming in week three, or do we start to settle in, and are these teams, are they what we think they are so far? And like Rob said, Louisville have been competitive. right? Chris Redman is the coach. They've had drives. They've moved the football. They've been in games. It's just, you know, they've fallen short and have had a hard time once they get into the red zone. And same thing with Orlando. I mean, Orlando finally made the quarterback change. He gave Dorian Robinson some time last week as well, Rob.
Yeah, I don't, you know, you follow college football, same as me, Gabe, and Jack Plummer was not a good college quarterback. I don't know what makes anybody think he's going to be a good UFL quarterback. Hasn't shown up so far. It could be part of the reason why Anthony Becht has stuck to the running game so much. The other side is interesting because they kind of platooned a little bit here. I kind of like Jason Bean. We remember him from North Texas completing a lot of passes. I think he's done well, fits into the system. So again, my initial lean here is toward Louisville at home to keep this thing somewhat close for a couple of reasons. One, they've moved the ball. I think 7 of their 9 scoring drives this season have been field goals. Eventually, those are going to be touchdowns. And two, Orlando just doesn't do enough offensively as of yet for me to think that they can separate from anybody. So and maybe I'll look towards Louisville in that game.
I hate to do it as well because, you know, I think this Orlando team is tough to beat because they're so well coached. And as we listen, everybody's coaching to win, but we're saying, like, some of these coaches want to entertain. Some of these coaches have an offensive game plan they want to run, right? And some of these coaches, they get frustrated after and, like, I don't want to only score 10 points. We can't just score 16 points. Like, they, you know, they want to put on a show. Beck, like I said, guys, he really doesn't care. Like, I think this guy, he's literally just, it sounds crazy to say, but he's hell-bent on a ring, Rob. You know what I mean? He's had good St. Louis, like, this guy, like, might cry if he wins the UFL championship. Like, he's all in on this league. He's just trying to grind out wins. And, like I said, I think he's realized his quarterbacks aren't very good either. Right? Just point blank. So, as like Rob said, it's been pretty conservative. You guys know how me and Rob love to bet on the overs. And there's no way I'm not betting the over this game. I kind of feels like, you know, kind of like the week one, whatever, like with that Louisville when they played was like, I don't know, 16-13 type of game, Rob. You know, weird score or something. You know, 17-15 or something awkward like that.
Yeah, and we end up with awkward scores here, Gabe. One more thing to point out, as long as we're on the subject, key numbers just don't come into play in the UFL.
No.
There's all these different methods of scoring here and abilities to go for 1, for 2, for 3, a 4-point field goal, etc. There's no such thing as a key number, so it kind of, where totals are concerned, it makes the, you know, the treading a little more difficult, at least in my case, because I can't pick on a number that's set just a little below a key and say, okay, I think they'll get there. I'm going to bet over. This one's a little more difficult.
We had our first 4-point field goal last week in the league. So we finally had a 4-point field goal. And, you know, like I said, there's all these new rules. It really hasn't, like, resulted in chaos or anything like that yet. I did notice, and it was kind of lame, but it was actually Becht. And you and I talked about this, Rob, and I said, all right, you're going to force coaches to go for it inside the 50. Are we going to see a coach inside the 50 get a deliberate false start to get out of the 50 to punt the ball? And, you know, speaking of which, I saw Becht do it, basically. Beck, like, had no interest in a first down. Like, he basically, they were at midfield, and he kind of, like, deliberately lost yards to punt the ball, Rob. And I'm like, well, this is exactly why, you're going against everything is the reason why we have this rule. But every time you put a new rule up, coaches are going to figure out a new rule, like a new way to just say, screw you, I don't want to do that. So I'm not going to do that. And we've already seen that. But so speaking of the unknown, the Houston Gamblers, they got lit up, Rob, in the first week. And, you know, you and I talked about it. Kevin Sumlin's not using his timeouts. He just kind of seemed lost. And, like, they were confused. And they, you know, they just didn't seem prepared to start the season, the Houston Gamblers. And then, boom, they turned it around and they flipped the script last week. Now they get a D.C. Defender team that really, like, punched in. I swear, Rob, D.C., you're like my nemesis of this league. Like, you got to admit, you never know what to expect from this team. Like, speaking of, like, just sort of finding ways to win, they win a lot, like, in pedestrian, sort of didn't-look-good ways. You and I have talked about their quarterback, and then other times, every once in a while, like, when you think, yeah, you know what, they're really not that good, that's when they'll pull the carpet out from underneath you, and they have that big game. So everything came together for DC last week. Yet this is sort of the trap where you trust them and then suddenly they struggle. Like, I don't ever know what to make of this DC team. And God knows what Houston, Rob. It's been 2 weeks and they've been all over the place. But we've got our highest total. I mean, it was just 47. It literally just moved to 46.5, guys, at Bet Online right now. But you don't normally see totals this high in the UFL this early in the season. But we got a high total here, Rob, with DC and Houston. And Houston are getting 6.5.
Yeah, an interesting last week, Gabe, that their first 9 possessions, DC scored 7 times. None of those were lengthy drives. They got the benefit of a lot of, you know, turnover, missed field goal, good field position, that type of thing. But they had 9 scoring drives, none of which was 60 yards. But they managed to get in on all of them. And they're different than some of these teams. I just talked about how Louisville hasn't cashed in with touchdowns, more field goals. DC cashes in with touchdowns. I think their offensive line, from what I'm seeing early on, it looks like the DC offensive line and the Dallas offensive line. Remember last year, we got to a point maybe midway through the season where we knew that that Michigan offensive line was really good. Bryce Perkins at quarterback and the running game was really good and he had all kinds of protection. I think we're seeing that out of DC and Dallas here early.
Yeah, Tamu does have time back there. There's without a doubt.
He does. And of course, they're the steadiest, right? That coaching staff is steady. They return most guys. So you would expect the cohesiveness there. The other side, Houston, you talk about Kevin Sumlin, and we do know him as an offensive coach. They did score on 6 of their final 7 possessions last week. They couldn't be stopped. Unlike DC, which I just mentioned, they drove a little bit and they drove the ball down Birmingham's throat, scored on their final 4 possessions. But again, they were kicking field goals. Of course, they win the game on a game-winning field goal, but 5 field goals out of 6 drives. Boy, if Houston could convert a little bit. However, I'm not so sure, Gabe. I'll say it again. I'm not so sure that Houston's offensive performance last week translates to this week because I think DC's defense is better than what Birmingham's is. So it's so tough to tell in week 3 who's really solid, who's not. But it looks like Birmingham's one of the weakest defensive teams in the league. So maybe DC extends here. But I will say this. I don't see a lot of quit in that Houston team. And a team we'll get to down the board here, I don't see a lot of quit in Ted Ginn's Columbus team either. So the two teams that maybe we thought were bottom of the barrel to start the year, at least when they're behind, they never give up. So 6.5 could come into play. Total-wise, it's very difficult here, Gabe. We're not used to betting games over 47 in this league. We're used to winning.
But I don't want to bet the under because it wouldn't surprise me if the DC Defenders put a show on here.
Yeah, I'm with you in that respect because Houston hasn't really stopped anybody yet. So we'll see. I think my best lean here would be toward the DC side. They're the more reliable side, certainly on both sides of the football. And, you know, if it gets down to 46, I do see a 46. You mentioned it clicked down at Bet Online. I see it clicking down in other places. So maybe it'll come down enough to get there with an over.
Maybe there's a theme. Somebody else, other people notice. 47. There's never 47s in this league. And so it's coming down here. Like I said, guys, DC frustrate me, but they've been one of the most consistent teams in this league over the years. You know, same coaching staff. Oh, they're consistent and they're inconsistent on a week-to-week basis, but they've been good, and you know, they finally won the championship last year. And everybody talks about St. Louis, Rob, but if there is, you know, they've got a nice little fun home vibe going on for their defender games, right? Like the Washington sport fan has embraced this team, and, you know, they got their beer snake thing going, and I've spoken to people who go to the games, and they tell me, oh, yeah, people, like, really drink at these games. Like, it's like a thing. Like, there's, like, drinking clubs and fan clubs and, like, they said, like, they're into the DC Defenders. They have a little pocket. They got their, like, you know, 9,000 to 12,000 hardcore little fans that show up for them. So I could see them want to put on a show here in this spot. Early start time, though, Rob. I don't want to overthink about that, but you got an early start time, noon Eastern and stuff. Not really, can you know, spring league, not conducive to a track meet. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know what, I don't know what the hell I'm going to get from Houston either. I'm going to take the easy way out here, Rob. I'm going to put the DC Defenders in moneyline parlays, bro. I don't think DC loses this game. So I'm going to have DC at the back end of some parlays.
Absolutely makes sense. Absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, it's not sexy or flashy, guys, but I'm telling you what I'm going to do.
We're looking to make money in the end. Yeah. And these teams are kind of used to some 12 o'clock starts, I think, over the past couple of years. But again, and maybe that's helpful to DC, right? Having it at noon. They're probably wide awake with their drinking club and everything.
Yeah, they'll be ready to go. I mean, it's rougher for Houston on the road, actually. Yeah, it's just weird start times, you know, like this. This one of the Sundays games, guys, is on ABC, actually. So if there's ever one that, you know, you figure out the league would want entertainment, it's like, listen, you son of a bitches, we're putting you on ABC this week. But Columbus and Dallas is not it. So this Dallas Renegades team's been rolling along here. Rob, you mentioned the Aviators and their fight. Listen, no one's going to dispute that Ted Ginn's not into this thing. Like, this poor dude's going to have a heart attack on the sideline, Rob. Right? Like, he's fucking it. Like, this guy, Ted Ginn's really into it in Columbus, guys. But they're just not very good. Let's just call it out for what it is. Right? They're just not very good. And, you know, they're going on the road here. They're getting 7.5 against the Dallas team, who have been efficient so far, Rob. 2-0 to start the season. Your thoughts on the Renegades and the Aviators? Pretty high spread, though, is 7.5, which often we don't see in this league either.
Yeah, the Dallas side, and I got it right the second week, Gabe. I think I came on last week and told you that I kicked myself a little bit for kind of, you know, Rick Neuheisel's the head coach, and I should have known right from the get-go that Rick Neuheisel's going to score points. He's been a head coach in these types of leagues before. I think he was a head coach of San Antonio in like the USFL years ago or whatever. But Neuheisel came out and basically said, you know, we're more or less a play-action team. And it wasn't, when I was going through all the offensive schemes for this league, it wasn't as, you know, sexy, so to speak, as Chris Redmond trying to play arena football outdoors, or Ricky Prohl saying, I'm bringing back the greatest show on turf. But what Dallas has going right now works. And I don't know that Columbus can stop them, honestly. If I was going to play an over, if I was going to chance an over, it would probably be this one here. I think Dallas has the ability to get to 30 against almost anybody. They showed it again last week when they got over the total.
67 points, guys, in two games. And think about that. The first two games. And these teams don't play preseason exhibition games either. Right? So you got to give a little bit of slack to them to get the offense going. Me and Robin fall in this league forever. And generally, like, kind of week three, kind of this it. Week four, it just sort of pops, and now this offense just sort of kind of started to get it. But let's give credit, Rob. They're the only team in the league to get to crack the 30 barrier twice, as they scored 36 and 31 in their two games.
Yeah, and Columbus just gave up 40 plus, right? I just mentioned
that. Yeah, they just gave up 44 to DC, guys. And now they're going to Dallas against the Dallas team that scored 36 and 31. But Columbus did put 26 up, so is this the one? I mean, you know, you and I think alike when it comes to this league. We were just saying, I'm not really in love with betting the over of tonight's game type of deal, but this is the one, isn't it, Rob? Like, if we're slamming a game, this is the one to go over the number.
Well, I think it is one of them, Gabe, because on the other side, really quickly, Jalen McClendon at quarterback just makes plays, right? And if he's behind, I think you can count on him to push the ball down.
And he makes mistakes too, which can lead to short fields too. It's almost Daniel Jones like. Like, I used to love that with Daniel Jones. I caught on years ago when he was on the Giants, Rob. People are like, you believe the Giants over? And I'm like, yeah, I'm telling you. I said, Daniel Jones either efficient, he'll march down the field and score, and or he'll fuck up and turn the ball over on his own 10-yard line. Either way, it'll lead to points.
And that's all we're looking for here. Like I say, DC scored on this defense of Columbus 7 out of the first 9 times last week. Columbus helped out a little bit. You're mentioning that Jalen McClendon does help out somewhat. I think I would look over there. I'll take my one moment here. And I don't take shots at bookmakers. They have a hard job, very hard job. But I'm in here, Gabe, and you know how my mind works. I'm looking for these team totals. And this year they took team totals away from us. So I can't even bet a Dallas team total. Like, give me over 30 and a half or something so I can bet it. But I can't find them anywhere the first 2 weeks I'm in search of. But maybe odds makers don't want me betting those things.
You know, Rob, I'm with you. I'm looking. And there's always a way. So I'll try to find a way for you here. There's always sort of a twisted way. It's like, all right, you guys not doing that, but you got in the same game parlay here. And or like, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's over under this. There's always sort of a way to find a bet, even like, you know, but you're right, Dave. And they used to have that. The market for this isn't as robust as it used to be as far as the props are concerned and different options. All right, so we got one more game. And like I said, guys, so this is the ABC game on Sunday. Birmingham and St. Louis. The Birmingham and two of the sort of more successful franchises over the past years for, you know, newer UFL type people. Birmingham have won what, like three to four championships? Two to three, whatever it is. Like, didn't win last year. DC won last year, but so I think three times. Birmingham's been a dominant team, but Rob, it's just, it's not easy to like lose a coach like Skip Holtz. Like, you just talked about Neuheisel in Dallas. Say what you will about Neuheisel and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? But the guy's an experienced coach. Like, he's coached before. Anyone that's met him before, he's like, the guy's kind of like, he wants to win. Like, the guy's a serious dude and stuff like that. He's into it. He wants to win. And, you know, we talked about Beck, the coach of Orlando now. This guy, like, you know, this guy, he's really into this. Like, it's not just sort of like, oh, yeah, they hired me, like Ricky Pro. Yeah, they hired me because I'm a local guy and whatever, and you know what I mean? Like, there's certain coaches, and with all that being stated, A.J. McCarron is the new coach of Birmingham. And A.J. McCarron loves football. He's a football lifer and stuff, but he also wanted to be the governor general or whatever of Alabama, and he lost, so here he is, but nevertheless. But, so, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't know football, right? And the guy's a quarterback, and he wants to be a coach now, and, you know, and he wants to do all this. Okay, that's all fine and dandy, but he's never been a coach before. So you've never been a coach before. You've been a quarterback. You've been a backup quarterback. You've been a quarterback in the NFL. Like, you've never been a coach before. And you and I kind of talked about it after week one, Rob. And, you know, you said, yeah, the defense, not kind of the same. And remember I said, yeah, well, not a shock. Hey, you got a quarterback now that's the head coach as opposed to Skip Holtz, who's going to look at everything, special teams, defense, offense. A.J. McCarron's an offensive guy. And let's be real. I know it's early, Rob, but this ain't the same Birmingham franchise anymore, Rob. The fear is gone. Let's just call it up for what it is. It's not the same team anymore.
I agree. You know, they've lost a couple of things. I'll reiterate again. I think they're one of the worst defenses in the league through 2 weeks. If you go through numbers, that's not a bold statement to make. But I also think that they lost their explosiveness on offense a little bit. They're more methodical. It's not that they don't drive the football, because they do. Their first 2 weeks, they've got numerous drives, 60-plus yards. But they go, you know, 10 plays.
It's a lot of dink and dunk. And, you know, it's funny, exactly. Rob, you say that, because Matt Corral, he finally lost, right? You know, it was maybe he didn't have to start a loss in a start. Like you said, it hasn't been, like, who's some of the other quarterbacks, bro? Like Martinez was more explosive. Our boy Adrian, right? You know, there was that big play capability. Who was the kid that he replaced? The kid from Louisiana Tech. Remember the, you know what I'm talking about. God. Darius Smith. Darius, you know what I'm talking about. The brother. Like, it's not coming to me. But same thing. Like, yeah, I remember, like, he used to piss Holtz off because he'd make mistakes sometimes, but then he'd throw a fucking bomb for a touchdown. Like, you know what I mean? I can't believe I can look up his name, guys, but there was, like, the quarterback. It's good point by Rob. Like, Matt, there's something about Matt Corral. Like, yeah, they won with him, but the big plays aren't there, and there's a lot of hold your breath, Rob. This guy throws into traffic. Like, he's a kid that plays in traffic all the time, right? There's not that. Yeah, they don't just, like, march down the field, this Birmingham team, like they used to.
Well, they don't do it in chunks. And, you know, it's interesting that he hired an OC named Tyler Siski, who comes from the collegiate level, lower collegiate level, and they install something called Siski's Collegiate Spread or whatever the heck it's called. And it just, it seems like Corral hasn't taken to it, and it has been a lot of dink and dunk. All that being said, this is the one game, Gabe, where I think the team favorite is the wrong favorite. I don't see Birmingham as being the favorite in this game. You know, St. Louis opening week beat DC on this field, and we know that St. Louis has the best home field.
Yeah, best home field. Guys, they literally get 30,000 people.
And it'll be crazy in there. And if they want to dink and dunk against the St. Louis defense, I'll take my chances. And Ricky Prohl's offense, it hasn't, you know, the dam hasn't burst yet. But you see signs of St. Louis being able to move the football in those types of chunks that I was talking about Birmingham doesn't have. So to me, this underdog is live. I like it a little more even than the total here. I think that the side is the right way. Take St. Louis. They were plus a field goal. They're now down to 2.5. Doesn't really matter in this league, as I mentioned off the bat. There's not a lot to do with key numbers. So 3 doesn't really mean a heck of a lot in this league.
Can't wait for the start of CFL, Rob. Like 55 days right now. 55 days away. I've got tickets to a BC Lions game in Kelowna, BC, Rob. Kelowna is like a beautiful, beautiful town. It's like an hour flight from Vancouver. It's like a 4.5 hour drive or something, 5 hour drive from Vancouver. Beautiful sort of resort type of town. And the BC Lions have never played there before. So the Lions are playing 2 regular season games there, Rob. Very, very cool. Like, it'll be interesting to see how it affects them. They're not playing a game in Vancouver until like August type, or July 25th will be their first game in Vancouver due to the World Cup, Rob. So something, because I'm just throwing it out there, like I see the BC Lions are the second choice as far as futures are concerned. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many of these people at Set Lions have no fucking clue that the BC Lions don't play a home game until like July 25th.
Probably not.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah. The Argos are another one. The Argos don't play at home. Like, because of the World Cup, Rob, so the World Cup's taking their stadium over. And BC were smart, at least, to, like, find other stadiums, like, within the province. But, like, BC are the BC Lions. They're not the Vancouver Lions. Like, they pride themselves on being a province-wide team. The Toronto Argonauts just didn't care. They were like, yeah, whatever, okay, we don't have our stadium, and we own the stadium anyways that the World Cup is in, so we're making money off of that. And they basically told, like, Saskatchewan, like, they told the visiting teams, Rob, do you want to host the game instead? And, of course, they said yes. Can you believe that? They gave the Rough Riders the home game. They said, yeah, we can't host the game, so we'll make a deal with the money and stuff, but, like, we'll just play at your stadium. And they were like, yeah, sure, fine. Like, Rob, Ontario and Toronto is a pretty big place, Rob. You could have found another fucking stadium somewhere. Like, but they were just like, ah, whatever. You know what I mean? Winnipeg paid us for the game, the rights to the game, and Saskatchewan paid us for the rights to the game. So don't expect much from the Argos, guy. New coaching staff. They're going to be on the road. Like, it's like, it won't be pretty for them, I don't think. Meanwhile, I'm kind of bullish on Ottawa this year with Dinwiddie and the Argo staff taking over in Ottawa. It's almost like college. Like, they're just going to go hit the ground running there. You know, we saw, Rob, that Ottawa staff was just in over their head last year.
Yeah.
Dinwiddie's all discipline and he's serious. The Ottawa ownership has spent money in the off seasons trying to win. It just never worked. They're doing it again. They basically told Dinwiddie, we want to win a Grey Cup. Like, win a Grey Cup for us. Sign who you need to sign. Do what you need to do. So something to keep your eye on there. But, Rob, I know you got an NBA show to prepare for, so let me ask you something. The Raptors don't do load management, right? The Raptors don't do load management. The Raptors are fighting for their playoff lives in the sense that, yeah, they're in the playoffs, but they're hanging on to a top six seed right now, right, to avoid the play-in. They're playing a New York Knicks team tonight that are laying 6.5 points, Rob. What am I missing? Early in the day, but what am I missing? Why is it's a lot of points for a Knicks. Like, this game is much more important to the Raptors.
No, and you have to figure in, too, Gabe. I think it's important in the handicap that the Knicks just came off the Boston game last night, which meant a ton to them. And they wound up winning 112-106, covered the number.
Which is a statement game. This isn't a statement game for them, exactly.
No, and I'll tell you one more thing here. It's interesting that 3-4 race in the Eastern Conference where I don't know that Cleveland even wants to take
over. Cleveland are trying to lose. I'm glad you bring this up. Cleveland are trying to lose the seed. They don't want it.
They want to avoid Boston at all costs because they've lost to Boston 3 times this year. So being 4 is just fine with them. So there's really no pressure on the Knicks to win by this tight margin. So Toronto as an underdog here. I'm very surprised that the Knicks took money in this game. I don't think it's the right movement here. I would probably push back with the Raptors plus 6.5 tonight.
Hawks are laying 8 against Cleveland. And Atlanta aren't playing games as far as who they're going to play. They're just trying to win games, Atlanta, because they don't want to. They're trying to stay out of the play-in. They're trying to stay out of the play-in as well. Charlotte lays 6 tonight. God, it's tricky, Rob. I better let you go because you got a lot of research to do with these. It's a lot of tricky spots, right, with teams. The Pistons are another one. They really haven't cared for a couple of weeks, Rob. Like they basically said, sort of like Cleveland, like you can read between the lines, guys. Like Atkinson said, well, we want to win, but it's the big picture. It's like anytime you get that but, right, Detroit, we're competing hard out there, but, it's the big picture. And, you look at Atkinson and Cleveland guys, they've been rotating now. One night Mitchell sits, one night Harden sits. Like, they clearly aren't, we're all hell-bent on getting a higher seed, like they're resting players. And Atkinson's done this, and Cleveland have done this before, where they call their shot, right, where they're like, we don't want a piece of this. We don't want to play the Celtics, which is not insane to me. So, Rob, and finally in closing, I know you're all NBA, but Dodgers have been rolling along. Not going to win every game, but they take the series in Toronto. Now they're back home against Texas. Any baseball, early season baseball thoughts before we get you out of here?
Real quick, where the Diamondbacks are concerned, tonight especially, Philly took a lot of money in this game, Gabe. Lizardo from $1.54 all the way to $1.80. And for what it's worth, Mike Soroka, I don't know that we can base it on 2 starts. But, man, he was a dominant pitcher at one time, got hurt. And it looks like he's all the way back to me. I'm not generally huge on playing underdog sides in baseball. But in this particular instance, Soroka first 5 could be worth a look against Lizardo here. Arizona's got plenty of offense. Soroka could get through 5 against the Philly offense, which hasn't been real good early on. I'm almost tempted to take Arizona here, 5-inning line. And I want to avoid their bullpen, of course. But I think Arizona plus first 5 innings is a pretty good look.
I'll tell you what, Soroka looked good in the WBC for Team Canada as well, which was kind of a precursor. Right. And I remember even in one of the warm up, the exhibition games for the WBC, Soroka pitched and there was talk about like the D-backs were like very, very, very happy about what they were seeing type of deal. Like he was fighting for his job, Rob. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, there's no guarantee like he had a spot in the rotation type thing. Like, you know, I mean, they were like, everything that they saw in camp and then with the WBC team, like there was like, you know what? We think he might be back. And good eye by you, Rob. So far, he's looked really good.
Yeah, he really has, Gabe. And if you didn't want to chance it for Arizona to actually be ahead after 5 innings, heck, you could take half a run here and be even money and play for a tie after 5 innings. I really just, the way he's throwing right now, I'm willing to take my chances plus half a run through 5 innings that Soroka gets the job done for Arizona tonight.
I hate playing chalk in baseball, Rob, but I took the Royals last night. God, so frustrating, man. The White Sox had lost 14 straight in Chicago. in Kansas City. Chicago lost 14 straight there. But, of course, they had to get it done last night. Rob Vino, wagertalk.com. Check him out. He's going to be talking NBA basketball. Always great stuff talking UFL football with you, Rob. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Gabe. Have a good weekend, buddy.
There's Rob Vino. What is awesome stuff with Rob, as always. Appreciate Rob's time. Got a little UFL football preview in here for the upcoming weekend. All right, we got the Masters going on right now, and it's another beautiful day. It looks like the wind is blowing a little bit out there. And, you know, a lot of golfers are already into the 10th and 11th holes right now. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get you caught up to date with the Masters, some in-game numbers, leaderboard, and all that other type of stuff. We're going to be back on tonight at 6 o'clock Eastern on the Sports Grid Television Network, getting you ready for the weekend. We've got UFC this weekend. Pretty cool card in Miami. MLS soccer as well. UFL football, Major League Baseball. Final weekend of play here in the National Hockey League. And, of course, we got the Frozen Four as well. Real heartbreaker last night, man, for the Michigan Wolverines. And, you know, listen, man, nobody's ever going to feel sorry for Michigan, but it sucked. Like, it was a painful loss for Michigan last night in the Frozen Four, and it was a painful loss for anyone to bet on Michigan in the Frozen Four last night. One of those what-are-you-going-to-do type of games. Hockey is the cruelest of all sports to bet on. Soccer is similar at times, but, like, generally, you know what I mean? Like, football, the better team, like, there's going to win. It's not like, you know, oh, yeah, we dominated, but we lost. Right? It's hard to dominate a football game and lose. Not as never happened before, or like basketball. Oh, yeah, we hit 42 threes, but we lost. Like, hockey, it can happen because of the goalie. Right? Just point blank. Michigan outshot them 51-25. 51-25. Like, what are you going to do? You have 51 motherfucking shots on goal on the other team, and they've got 25. Like, they went to double overtime. Michigan outshot them 13-2. All right? In the first overtime period, they outshot them like 6-3. And then in, like, the second overtime, went to double overtime. In the second overtime period, Denver started to slow down. Right? Like, you just sort of see, like, Denver were on their heels all game. So, like, they were, like, chasing the puck around more than Michigan were. So you could just sort of see that Denver's players were slowing down, and like Michigan were getting more and more chances, like in the double overtime. The Hicks goalie, the Johnny Hicks, is unbelievable. Kids from Kamloops too, the goalie for Denver. So he was unbelievable. But Michigan like kind of started to get frustrated. You know what I mean? It's one of those, we're not scoring, and like they were trying everything. Like, they tried fancy goals, they tried cheap goals, like they were flicking a puck in that, like, they really did try everything on the kid, and they couldn't score. They just could not score, and it was stuck. Like, and not to mention, Michigan were up fucking 3-2, and Denver scored with like 2 minutes left. So Michigan blew the lead with 2 minutes left. And then it goes to overtime. They're dominant in overtime, but you all know how that works. It was very Canada-US-like in the gold medal game, right? It was like Canada were all over the U.S., and they didn't score. They hit the post, and McKinnon misses the net, like whatever. And it was the same thing. You could just sort of feel it. So in the second overtime, it was really wild. Like, Michigan were all over them. Like, they literally were out shooting them 13-2. And then on the third shot that Denver got in the period, they won the game. That's hockey. There was nothing the goalie could do. Like, it was a nice play. Like, Buddy caused chaos, like, along the boards, and he flicked the puck out in the middle of the slot, the top of the slot, and nobody was really there. Buddy was alone. Very U.S.-like. It was Hughes. Like, he was kind of alone at the top of the slot, and he rifled it in to win the game. Real heartbreaker for Michigan. Like, Michigan deserved the win last night, but that's hockey. That's sports. And not take anything away from Denver, right? Because Denver are resilient. They hung in there. They found a way, and you know, the goalie's part of the team, right? Yeah, you said, oh, you only won because of your goalie. Yeah, well, you only won because of your quarterback. Like, you only won because of your running. Like, you can't really say, oh, they won because of their goalie. It's like, yeah, well, the goalie's part of the team. But yeah, that goalie was unbelievable. All right, so one thing that really stuck out to me, too, about the game last night was almost every player was Canadian. So, like, we talk about, like, the CHL and the NCAA and stuff like that. And, you know, every one of these players basically was like, oh, hey, he's from Winnipeg. This other kid's from this part of Manitoba. Like, you know, Michael Hague's, Hague, and all these players, and for the record, Hage is, Hage, a lot of people, he's free to join the Montreal Canadiens at a big night. And think about this too. What a big day for Wisconsin hockey, yesterday. The Wisconsin Badgers made it back to the national championship game. I believe it's the first time since 2010 they've been in the title game. And Cole Caulfield scores 50 goals for the Montreal Canadiens. First time since like 1989 that somebody on the Canadiens scores 50 goals. But Cole Caulfield's a Wisconsin Badger. So I don't believe Wisconsin's ever had a 50-goal score in the NHL before, have they? Off the top of my head, it'd be like, who would, like, no? Like, you know what I mean? No, I don't believe they have. I could be wrong. And if you are, feel free to correct me. But, yeah, so if you're a Wisconsin Badger hockey program, not a bad day. You got one of your players just scored 50 goals in the National Hockey League, and you made it to the national championship game. But with that being stated, how do you get in front of this Denver team? Right? Denver just found a way to beat Michigan. This Hicks goalie is unbelievable. And Denver have that pedigree, man. Denver on the verge of a hockey dynasty right now. If the Denver Pioneers win the championship, it'll be their fourth national championship in the last 9 years, which is pretty damn good. You win four championships in 9 years in college sports. Yeah, that's, you know, you are pretty much like the power, right? So yeah, the Denver Pioneers on the verge of doing something special. And or can Wisconsin salvage the pride of the Big Ten and nail down another Big Ten national championship by winning the Frozen Four championship? But my feel is that Denver just too much. Like, I just saw them. They're rock solid, this Denver team. Like, they don't make mistakes. Their goalie is awesome. They're very big. Like, for a college team, they got some really big dudes on their team. They clog up a lot of the ice and stuff. They're good. But so are Wisconsin. For the record, BetOnline has Denver minus 175. Denver minus 175 favorites total. 5.5. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get you caught up to date with the Masters, and we'll wrap things up on a Sports Rage midday. Let's roll. We'll be right back. All right, they're rolling along here out of Augusta right now. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I've never really had a desire to be at the Masters. Like, you know, I don't want to be standing. I don't need to be standing up there for 6 hours and stuff with all these people in Augusta, Georgia. Right? Like, it's, I don't have, like, it's like, oh, yeah, it's a bucket list. I wish I could go to the Masters type of deal. But I wish I could play at the Masters. Or I wish I could play this golf course. You know what I mean? It'd be super cool to play. I don't really care about being there as a fan and stuff, but I like to actually play this golf course. I don't know if because it's early or something. Doesn't seem to be too many people there right now. Like the Grand, I know, I get it. It's Friday afternoon and stuff like that. It's still early in the day, but you got big time golfers golfing right now. And like the grands, you know, the crowds, it's, there's space. Like I'll put it that way. People are walking around. You got your own space and stuff like that. Jordan Spieth getting ready to take a shot here. So we'll get you the leaderboard. The leaderboard right now, Mr. Burns. Mr. Burns is even. He just started, so he's only through one right now. But he's 5 under. Rory's 5 under. Rory hasn't started yet. Pretty much everybody else has. Wyndham Clark. Wyndham Clark is done. And Wyndham Clark is now 4 under. Shot minus four in the second round. Justin Rose is only one shot off. Guys, this guy's unbelievable. At his age, he's always around. My real concern is I need Corey Connors to make the cut. Like, that's all I'm really worried about today. All right, we just need Corey Connors to make the cut. And Corey Connors is minus one through 12 right now. So that's good. All right, so we've settled Corey Connors down. We've settled Fitzpatrick down. Well, Fitzpatrick needs to have a good day today. And I got a Cam Young. I got two props. I got two, like, par. I got a Corey Connors to make the cut parlayed with Cam Young to make the cut. And I've got another one, Corey Connors to make the cut with Matthew Fitzpatrick to make the cut. Both of them played better than Corey, but Corey will be fine. So I think we're going to be fine with our make the cut parlays. But one thing, and we've talked about this in golf, there's no locks. You can never, you know, stuff can change actually too. But without being stated, like, oh yeah, like Corey Connors going to be the top Canadian. Yeah, well, Nick Taylor like was awesome yesterday. So now, you know, Nick Taylor, Corey Connors has some, you know, some, he's got some catching up to do to Nick Taylor right now to be the top Canadian. But we all know golf can change quickly. Right, Corey Connors could catch fire today, and Nick Taylor could struggle, right? And the next thing you know, Corey Connors is surpassing him. Connors hasn't caught fire today, but at least he's you know, yesterday he was 3 over. He's 1 under today, so he's minus one through 12. It'd be nice if he could squeeze out another couple of birdies here and get this to minus 3 under for the day. But well, so there's Corey Connors, but... So Sam Burns right now, you got Rory, you got Wyndham, you got Rose. Kitty M is lingering at 3 under. Jason Day, Patrick Reed, Ty Hatton, Shane Lowry, Xander Schauffele. So as far as the odds are concerned right now at Bet Online, Rory is plus 275. Xander is plus 900. Sam Burns is 10 to 1. Scotty Scheffler is plus 800. Patrick Reed is plus 1,400. Tommy Fleetwood is 18 to 1. Justin Rose, plus 700 right now. Brooks Koepka. Rose always comes close, but I don't think he's going to win. Koepka's 28. Jason Day's 25. Lowry's 30. Kitty Yama's 35. Wyndham Clark is 30. Not a love, no love for Kitty Yama. He's right there. He's getting 35 to 1 right now with him. I don't have a feel. I haven't really watched this today. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we just, it's early on the West Coast. We've been doing this show. So let me soak up the afternoon of golf here today. And on Game Time Decisions at 6 o'clock on the network tonight on Sports Grid, we'll have some, you know, all right, what are we gonna do moving forward? The There is a big UFC card, and check out Sports Grid tonight, actually, at 7:30 Eastern time for the Combat Sports Report. My boy Tom Savino steps up and in. We hit all the UFC fights this week. And I think we got some spots to bet on. Listen, Ahlberg's a badass, man. Right? This Ahlberg dude, the dude from New Zealand and stuff, he's been killing people. Yet Prozaka is he only lost to Alex Pereira. The guy's got 8 fights in the UFC. He's got 32 fights in his life. He's finished 31 of them. And he's 6-2 in the UFC with his 2 losses to Alex Pereira. I respect Ahlberg. I think Ahlberg's a badass, but I'm not getting in front of Jiří in basically a pick'em fight there. Like, there's a couple of spots. I think Cub Swanson, very winnable fight for Cub in a swan song. For Swanson on the way out, pardon the pun. But, yeah, check it out. We got some UFC picks at 7:30 to 8:30 on the grid. The Combat Sports Report, and obviously I'll have some picks tomorrow. And, in fact, I was thinking, you know, tomorrow I'm going to do an in-game sort of we'll be on tomorrow, like sort of evening, nighttime type, evening type thing. Tomorrow, you know, you got the Frozen Four. You've got the, what time is that hockey anyways? You got the hockey. We've got the UFL football. We've got the NHL, final day of NHL. Final weekend of play going into the National Hockey League, and then the playoffs start on Saturday. These teams right now in the NHL playing for playing for division titles, playoff spots, like, we got it all. I said the Montreal Canadiens, Buffalo Sabres, and Tampa Bay Lightning all sort of battling down the stretch here. The Canadiens have Columbus on Saturday, the Islanders on Sunday, and the Flyers on Tuesday. So it's their last home game tomorrow. So that's what I'm saying. It's like teams' last home games, and like the season's coming to an end here. Something, and you know, we'll go over this tomorrow, and then tonight I'm going to keep my eye on this, but like, you know, bad teams, whatever, it's their last game, this and that. It's sort of like there's going to be a lot of situational spots and angles over the next, 4 or 5 days in the National Hockey League. And then we got the NBA play-in stuff that starts on Tuesday. But we've talked about the NHL. Listen, the NHL has great playoffs. Fun, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. It's intense and stuff. But it's wild. Look, the Buffalo Sabres 106, Montreal Canadiens 104, Tampa 102. That's some wild stuff, man. Who would have thought before the year started? Who said, yeah, the Buffalo Sabres and Montreal Canadiens would be battling for the division title? But The playoff format, guys, this is how wild this is. Look at the league standings. So, as of right now, the Montreal Canadiens would play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round of the playoffs. The Montreal Canadiens have the 5th best record in the National Hockey League right now. All right, the Montreal Canadiens had the 5th most points in the National Hockey League. And they would play the 6th best team in the league in the first round. And Gary Bettman, you want to justify that? You want to justify that with all these teams in the playoffs, that, yeah, so that's not a competitive imbalance, that the 5th and 6th best teams play each other? How about this? You'll have the Dallas Stars, who are the 3rd best team in the league, taking on the Minnesota Wild, who are the 7th best team in the league. So in the first round of the playoffs, you have the 5 seed playing the 6 seed and the 3 seed playing the 7 seed. Like, imagine if the NCAA tournament did that. Like, they wouldn't do that because they wouldn't get away with it. Because, like, Michigan and Duke would say, like, yeah, we're not, like... Like, they'd be like, how does this make sense that, like, the Duke and Aaron, the Michigan and Arizona are playing each other in the first game or the second game, right? They'd be like, this bracket doesn't make sense. Like, do it again. But no, not in the NHL world. Not in the NHL world. Like, think about that. The fifth seed and the fifth best team in the league would play the sixth best team in the league in the first round. And the third and seventh best team. That's why, like, when you bet the NHL playoffs, you look at the bracket, and this is why the best teams don't often make it to the Stanley Cup final, because they have a harder path. Like, just point blank. Like, you look at, the Edmonton Oilers, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, Utah, and Anaheim have a much easier path to make it. Like, if you're Colorado, what was your reward? Like, seriously, all right, we got the best record in the league. What's our reward? Oh, yeah, we're going to play the Dallas Stars or Minnesota Wild winner in the second round. That's our reward. Minnesota and Dallas. Hey, we're the third and seventh best team in the NHL. What's our reward? You get to play each other in the first round. Yeah, but shouldn't we be playing one of the wild low seeds? No, no, you play each other because that's the way the commissioner likes it. It's a fucking clown show. Like, people kind of talk about it, but, like, if you really want to, like, look at it, it's, like, it's pathetic. It's comical. You might as well just put the names and, like, shake them up in a hat at this point. Like, you don't care. Like, you don't care about the competitive imbalance because you think that somehow you're going to get good TV ratings because you have high-profile rivalries in the first round. Yeah, but you realize, Gary, that these teams get eliminated. And you do realize, and listen, I love the Stanley Cup playoffs, but I'm being real, and everybody knows it. It's too long. And you give the Stanley Cup in late June. So you're going to start on April 18th, and it's going to go all the way to, like, June 18th or whatever. June 21st or whatever the hell it is. And it's summertime, so people get disconnected. And also, all the NHL, like, it's not like the Super Bowl. It's not like everybody watches the Stanley Cup Finals. You know what I mean? Teams like, you know, gamblers, hardcore fans, and fans of the team watch. But it's summertime. You have the NBA on. You got baseball on. People are out and stuff. They're like, hockey's been on too long. And also, they're like, I don't care about the Utah Mammoth or the Edmonton Oilers or whatever. Like, right? So, like, the NHL to me, like, it's backwards. It'd make more sense, like, to be like, who cares who plays in the first round? People love the first round. You get these weird random matchups. And we're going to get a good Stanley Cup final of, like, big high-profile teams after. But Bettman, for whatever reason, cannibalizes the best teams early. And you hear him say, he doesn't say we have the best championship, does he? He goes, we have the best opening round of the playoffs. It's like, dude, it ain't about the opening round of the playoffs. Like, the NCAA tournament doesn't, like, say to fucking, like, they make Howard play on the first day, Gary. Not opposite. Like, they don't figure out, let's figure out a way to get Howard through and screw over the 4 and 5 seed here. Like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense at all. And, you know, I blame the players, too. Because the players talk all the time about how they don't like it and stuff. The players can bitch about how they don't like it and it's stupid and stuff. Well, whatever, guys, you're the ones that agreed to it. You signed the CBA, you know, you could fight it. Like, you could actually, like, do something about it and revolt about it because everyone's polite about it. Like, Sidney Crosby, oh, I told the commissioner it's a bad format, and Nate McKinnon's been vocal about it, saying it's stupid, and, like, pretty much every player in the National Hockey League thinks their playoff format is stupid. Yet, they don't do anything about it. And the thing is, too, the NHL, Bettman likes it because of the TV stuff, and the owners don't fight it, and the owners like it because they save money. They're cheap, point blank, right? If you're playing teams in the playoffs that are in your division, you're saving money in travel. you have it like 1 through 16, 1 through 8, just random, and you're going to be flying around everywhere. And they don't want that. They don't want to pay for that. So, like, they don't want to admit that either, but it's true. And it's just, it's ridiculous because you guys have enough money to be able to afford to fly wherever the hell you want to fly to. So enjoy the Masters action this afternoon. We'll catch you guys on the grid at 6 o'clock Eastern. And don't forget to catch the Combat Sports Report tonight at 7:30 Eastern. Check out betonline.ag. They've got all the in-game action going on. And very good book for mixed martial arts, too. They've got all the companies up on the board. We'll see you on the grid in a couple hours. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.